All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Bet Amud Aleph, three lines down, talking about Petach, the Neder. We're talking about people who come to Chachamim to do Sheilat Chacham, to ask the Chacham to be Matir their Neder. And here we have different examples of methodologies by which the Chachamim were Matir Nederim. And the Gemara accepts some methodologies, rejects other methodologies. And here we have a story of Bar Brate, the Rabbi Yanai Sabo, so the grandson of Rabbi Yanai Saba, whether he was Saba because he's the grandfather of this individual, that was his name. Or you can see the alternate curses, Rabbi Yanai Rava, the greater or the older Rabbi Yanai. Ata the Kameh, the Rabbi Yanai Saba, or Rava again. Amalei, ilu hava yadat, de patchin pin kasach, umemashmashin bovdach minadart. If you had known that they're going to open up your ledgers, and they're going to do an audit of all your work, would you have taken such a neder? Amalei, lo, he said, I would never have done that, Bisharia, and he was matir the neder. Now what this means, that they're going to audit you and to go through all your ledgers, is not in a literal sense. There's one interpretation that's in a literal sense, but really it's in a figurative sense, which is that the taking of a neder brings scrutiny from a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the individual. So do you want that type of scrutiny from the heavens on you because you took the neder? So you see, the Rosh says, "Bishvil shehu marshia lidor," since he is like a rasha to take a neder, "inami shehu machzik et atzmo tzadik," or that he's holding himself up to be some sort of tzadik, "ubatuach sheyuchal lekayim et nidro," and he's so certain that he keeps his neder, "v'lo yikashelbo," and he won't make any mistake, "kein iyun tefillah." It's similar to iyun tefillah. We have this in the Gemara and other places, that a person does iyun tefillah, that Hashem is also middaktek. If you're middaktek, then Hashem will be middaktek with you. And so also over here, this person who holds himself up to that status of being a tzaddik and taking the darim, then they're going to check. They're going to do a background check. They're going to make sure that this person really is that way. So the Rosh introduces the possibility of he did something wrong. He was marshia. Or the other possibility is that he's holding himself up to be a tzaddik. And therefore, they're going to check on him or look into his background. You can see the Ran over here says, "Mitoch shu noder nir eshu makzik atzmo chasid shlo yikashel benidro." Similar to the Rosh, that he's holding himself up to be of a certain standing, a certain stature, and therefore they're going to check. Are you really at that level? Is it really appropriate for you to be taking a neder? The Gemara in two places mentions iyun tefillah. In one instance, it mentions iyun tefillah the positive. And the other, it mentions iyun tefillah to the negative. But iyun tefillah to the positive is, in a sense, when a person has kavanah and a person davens well, that's the positive side. Iyun tefillah, which the Tosafot tries to reconcile with the other circumstance where it comes up, he mentions that iyun tefillah is a person's middaktek on his tefillah, which is that he asks things from God, and he checks up, and he believes that he should be answered. And when he's not answered, he gets upset, meaning that he's very particular about his tefillot, and thinks that, why isn't God answering me? Why isn't God taking care of me? But again, like a dikduk, in this way, that you're holding God accountable to your tefillot, God will also hold you accountable on the other side. The midah keneged midah, in that sense. So here you have him being potach neder, with this idea of, would you have taken a neder if you knew that it was viewed so negatively? And obviously the answer is no. Bisharia. Amar Rabbi Abba, Maikara. What's the pasuk? V'char nidarim levaker. So it goes, after nidarim, there's a bikoret. There's a audit. There's a checking up on the individual after he makes a neder. V'af agav, depatach Rabbi Yanai le. Even though Rabbi Yanai used this as a method for petach le neder, sheilat chacham, to be matir the neder, we don't utilize this because of what you were raising now, what we saw yesterday. It's too much of leading the witness. If you go to someone and say, well, had you known, if you took a neder, you'd be like a rasha, and they'd be all over you, and crawling all over you, would you take the neder? What do you expect the person to answer? Of course they're going to answer no. So it's too obvious an answer that you're going to receive, that it's going to be no, and therefore we don't want to use this, because that's not real charata. Real charata is something where we're certain that the individual feels differently about the neder, or had they known this information, they would have felt differently at the time of the neder, versus this, which if you pose the question in a certain manner, the only answer the person's going to give is, of course I wouldn't have. And that really is not necessarily getting to the true essence of what they feel about the nether. V'lo patchina b'had achranaita. We also do not use this other methodology for b'yim matir neder. The Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. My patach le Rabban Gamliel the Haus Abba. How did Rabbi Gamliel, how was Rabban Gamliel matir neder for this individual? He said, Yesh boteh k'mad kirot cheriv v'lashon chachamim marpeh. So the word boteh is like the word shvat bitui, from the word to express, to take a shvua. K'mad kirot cheriv is like the piercing of the sword. V'lashon chachamim, and the words of the chachamim are marpeh, are curative. So kol boteh, anybody who takes a shvua, who takes a bitui, a shvua, neder, ra'ui l'dokro b'cheriv, he is worthy of being pierced by the sword. Ela, Hashon Chachamim Marpeh. But the words of the Chachamim are curative. So in essence, he's saying that one who takes a neder has done something totally wrong. And the only way to deal with that is to be matir neder. So again, if you open up with that to an individual, now again, whether this means Rashi, lo patchinan, we don't start with this. We don't open with this. So this is the Ran and the Tosafot, who mean we don't use this for be matir neder. Both instances, you can understand why. If you tell a person you're going to be pierced by a sword if you take a neder, then what choice do they have left besides to say, no, I really didn't want to take the neder? And then is that really a true matir neder? Because by the matir neder, we're trying to get to the point where the individual basically declares that their neder was ta'ut, was a real mistake. And that there was an underlying mistake in the neder because they misread the information, they misassessed the situation, whatever the circumstances are. But if you use this type of, call it pressure, verbal pressure, where you're telling the individual that they're doing something totally wrong, it's very hard to get an honest answer out of them to think that it's really a mistake. They're just going to say no, because they're too embarrassed to say anything else. V'lo patchinin b'hada acharanaita. Again, we don't utilize this methodology either, which is the Tanya. Rabbi Natan Omer, hanoder ki'ilu bana bama. Person who takes a neder is as if he built a bama. And Rashi over here says, a bama l'avodah zarah. It's as if he's going and worshiping other gods. The mainstream view over here is bana bama, is a bana bama l'Hashem. He built a bama to Hashem, but he built it bizman isra bamot. Built it at a time when the mikdash was extant, and you weren't allowed to have private mizbechot in your backyard. Veha mikaimo, one who keeps the neder, kilu makriv alov korban. Not only did he build the mizbeach, but he also brought a korban on it. Bereisha patchinan. When it comes to the first part of this statement, that we open up with. Because the Gemara here thinks that that's not too much pressure, which is simply a person who takes a neder as if he built a bama. Now, building a bama is not necessarily negative, because all you did was build the bama. It's only the preparations for being makriv a korban on the bama. So it's not totally bad. Maybe somebody wouldn't be so embarrassed to say that they did take the neder. But the seifa, when it comes to the latter half of that statement, that if you keep the neder, it's as if you're makriv a korban on that mizbeach, Abaye amar patchinan. Abaye says we do use it. Rova amar lo patchinan. We don't utilize it. It's too much pressure. It's too embarrassing a statement for a person to say, yeah, nevertheless, I took the neder. So therefore, we can't use that as being a way to be poteach nederim. Rav Kahana matni lo aloha shmaita ba'adin lishna. That's the way Rav Kahana brought it down. Rav Tavyume matni hochi. Rav Tavyume had the sugya look like this, which is the seifa lo patchinan. Everybody agrees in the seifa that you can't use that. That's way too much pressure on the individual to say you're being makriv or korban. So outside the mikdash, on a bama. Bereisha, the fact that you just built a mizbeach, that's the argument. Abaye amar patchinan. Abaye says we are poteach neder that way. Rav amar lo patchinan. Behilchato, and the locha is lo patchinan lo bereisha velo b'seifa. We do not use either one of these statements in order to be matir neder. Not that when a person takes neder, it's as if he built a bama. And we don't use the statement that if you keep the neder, it's as if you're makriv o korban on the mizbeach. And then Rashi's noting in all of these cases, you can see over and over again, he says, Mishum davi iyum gadol. It's too much pressure, it's too much fear being placed in the individual that they'll have only one alternative or one answer to your question, which is of course not. And then we're not getting, again, to the essence of the individual, whether they really do regret retroactively their neder and whether we can really be matir neder, because the answer that everyone's going to give to this is that, no, I don't want to take a neder, and that's not going to get to us the answer that we want, which is understanding or getting to a point where the individual themselves understands that there's something wrong with what they did. Right now, the reason that there's a problem here with a person who takes a neder and it's compared to someone who builds a bama, right? So you can look at this in a number of different ways. One way to look at that is that when a person builds a bama, they're doing something wrong. It's not proper. Here you have the Mikdash, that's extant. You have a place where you're supposed to bring korbanot, and you do something bad, and you go ahead and you're makriv, or you build a bama at the time of the Isur Bamot. So again, similar to what we saw before in the idea of a person that is going to be investigated and audited when they take a neder. So it's over here. It's just doing something that is improper. So that's one way to look at it, b'shat Bamot. Now, the other possibility to look at it, that Ran mentions over here, the Ran says that it is mishum de salika date. Person might think the noder, the mitzvah kovid. When he takes the neder, he's doing a mitzvah. The Torah tells him certain things that are asurim, and the Torah prescribes certain things you're allowed to do, certain things you're not allowed to do. But the Torah has rules, and some of those rules say that don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. So this individual thinks, you know what? Also, if I add on more Isurim, that's a good thing. So I should be taking the Darim. So that might be the concept here of Kilu Bana Bama, which is the Torah gives you what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And that's already in the Mikdash. And then you go ahead and you add on other things on top of that. So you think adding Isurim, adding other things is a good thing. The answer is no, it's Kilu Bana Bama. That's it. You're already walking outside the perimeters or parameters of the Torah, and therefore it's something negative. Not exactly the same, but similar to the Ran said back on Daf Tet, with regards to taking a neder, that a person might think that just the taking the neder itself is a mitzvah. Forget about keeping the neder. Just taking the neder is a sign of good intentions. It's a sign of someone who's trying to do more, and therefore it's positive. And that's what you would think. The answer is no, it's Kilu Bana Bama. The Ran also brings a Yerushalmi that discusses that, what seems to be a very, very strong statement about the Nedarim and understanding this, which is, V'hi derachmono asar lei dvarim asurim, ki mosif yu amay da'asar rachmono pasha. That a person adds on to the Isurim that the Torah gave us, he sins. Kinyan sham rubi Yerushalmi, v'perak potchim lo dayecha b'mash asre Torah, it's not enough for you what the Torah already restricted. And therefore you're adding on additional items. And therefore, why do they use the example of a bama and being makriv on a bama? Is because the nidarim are a derivative of nidrei korban. Nidrei korban are the core, and then you're matpis from korbanot onto other nidarim. So that is the basis for Nidarim, and that's why they use this example. But what you see here is a concept or an idea, a religious concept, that people would assume that doing more, adding on more, is positive. And that's what you would assume. That's why a person would take a neder and say, look, the Torah gives me this. I want to do even more than the Torah asks of me. So I'm going to add on these additional Nidarim. And you would think that is positive. But what the Gemara describes over here is, that when you do that, it's no longer within the confines of what the Torah gave you. You're building something outside. You're being makriv on a bizbeach that's outside of what is found in the Mikdash. And so you would think bringing a korban is such a great thing. But when you bring a korban on a bama outside the Mikdash, it turns out to be something not so positive anymore. You've changed something that was otherwise positive into something that is negative. And the same thing with Nidarim. You're taking what otherwise could be something positive or something that's directed, meaning the Torah told you don't do this, do this. And now you're trying to utilize the method of the Torah to do something good or seemingly add on mitzvot. But in the end, that's like building a bama. You've taken yourself away from the Torah's intent and started to build on your own, in a sense, religion around the Torah. And that's what's so negative here about these nidarim. Now, you can say this in one of two ways. I heard from Rav Rosenzweig, my Rebbe, that You can express it in the fact that the Torah gives you sufficient mitzvot to deal with. Why are you adding on when you have plenty to do without the other mitzvot of the Torah? That's one way to express it. The other way to express it is that a person is a striving individual. A person always wants to do better and be good. So what they do is they try to take on additional mitzvot, additional frameworks in order to extend their avodat Hashem. But many times when an individual does that, that if they don't grow, what I would say, on a level manner, where the entirety of their persona is growing together, but they take one area and they overemphasize it, or they overfocus on it, then what ends up happening is it's usually to compensate, or it comes in lieu of something else. So a person, instead of taking care of all of their issues, let's say they have weaknesses here and strengths here, so instead of dealing with their weaknesses, they overcompensate on their strength side. So they'll make themselves even more and more intensely religious and practicing in those areas where they feel strong, but they'll never deal with those things that they're weak at or things that they need to rectify. So instead of rectifying them, what they do is they overextend themselves in the other areas. And Nidarim might be exactly that, which is what we're worried about here, is the individual coming and taking Nidarim, and like we saw over here, making themselves more religious, tzaddik harbeh, and as we described before, they're going to open up the books and audit you and all those things because you're presenting yourself. You are giving off this sense of being a tzaddik and a chassid and holding yourself to that higher standard. But many times it's at the cost, the expense, or in lieu of dealing with other things that you really need to deal with. And that might be the problem here of Kilu Bana Bama, which is that the person is, in a sense, creating an imbalance within themselves. And as they create that imbalance, that's what we're worried about over here, and that's what the Bama really is speaking to, is that the Torah gives you the prescribed way to bring korbanot. There are ways to worship Hashem. You decide you want to do it on your own, you want to do it this way, so you go out. But when you do that, you're actually not building. In the end, it's more destructive than it is in building because of the nature of overcompensating or creating this imbalance within the individual. That's very important here in terms of the nature of Nidarim. What's also interesting here is that the Gemara here is very negative on Nidarim because of either that issue of scrutiny, the issue of imbalance, unlike what we saw back on Daf Tet. The Gemara here, we'll quote the Gemara from Daf Tet in a second. Back on Daf Tet, the problem that the Gemara mentions over there is Takala. The real issue that we're worried about is that someone takes a neder, they're not going to uphold the neder. That they're not going to actually fulfill the neder. And the risk is that you won't keep the neder. And that's so risky that we don't want you to do it. So in that case, we're looking at what we call it a cost-benefit analysis, which is it worth the risk of taking the neder vis-a-vis the cost of you not fulfilling the neder? So then we have the opinion of Rabbi Huda, we have the opinion of Rabbi Meir, whether it's a nedava, if it's a neder, depending on exactly what you do and the circumstance in which you do it. Can we create it in a sense where the neder is enough positive, there's enough benefit, and the cost and the risk is low enough that we allow you to do it? But that looked to be the main issue over there, which was an issue of takala. And that's what drove us. Over here, it seems to be not an issue of takala, because the Gemara is not focused on the fulfillment of the neder. We saw that a little bit in the Rosh before, that he says is Mashiach Atzmo, that a person is a Rasha when he takes the neder because there's a chance, there's a risk that he won't fulfill the neder. So you see the Rosh connecting it with the first part of the Gemara. But when you get to this part where it's Ki'ilu Bana Bama, here even before you get to the Mechshol, it's as if you built a Bama, and then if you keep the neder, it's Ki'ilu Makriva La Bama, that's a totally different perspective on Nidarim. Forget about Tikala now, forget about the chance that you make a mistake. The mere keeping of the neder itself is a problem. Not even to do with the chance or the risks that you don't fulfill the neder. So again, the Gemara over there very much focused on takala. That's the major focus of the Rishonim in general with regards to nidarim. Over here in our Gemara, we have a totally different perspective, which is a negative view of nidarim. Even if you keep them, even if there's no risk, even if you don't fail them, there's a hashkafic issue with the keeping of Nidarim. And you see, even in the Rambam, when he codifies the Dinim of Nidarim, that he very much does not focus on the issue of Takala in terms of Nidarim, but much more on here, on this Gemara, as well as the issue of balance in a person, keeping perspective and balance in a person's life. And the only time he actually allows nidarim is in the instance where it helps bring a person back into balance. But there's an imbalance that they need to bring back into balance, and maybe there where it's an improvement in the midot. And to help a person get to a better place with his midot, the golden mean that the Rambam always talks about, that's the one area where the Rambam gives somewhat of a stamp of approval to nidarim. But otherwise, he's very negative, very much along the lines of this Gemara over here. So whether these are competing views of nidarim, whether it's the one view in the Gemara is that it's okay, but you got to account for the risks. And here's another view in the Gemara, which is much more along the lines of Yerushalmi, which is nidarim are out completely. Or whether you can reconcile between the two, which is because of the takala, that's why the view of nidarim is so negative over here. Meaning that this takes into consideration the aspect of takala and just says that there's never a benefit that's worth the cost of taking the neder, and that's why the Gemara comes out so negative. You could try to reconcile between the two Gemaras, but you should be aware that this is very, very different perspectives on nidarim. The Rishonim there discussed it more about how they create a hierarchy of what nidarim are allowed and which are not allowed. Nidrei ziruzim, which we saw before with the mitzvot. Nidrei mitzvot, those are positive, and we're okay. And nishba lekayim et mitzvah, that we were okay with. Some of the Rishonim even said, you should take a mishvah like that and another like that. Nidrei tzedakah, most Rishonim think that are okay. Nidrei isur, almost everybody says are problematic. Nidrei hekdesh, sit in the middle there, it's not so clear. Some Rishonim put Nidrei hekdesh down with Nidrei isur, and call it to say they're problematic. Some put Nidrei hekdesh up with Nidrei mitzvah. So there is this balance or hierarchy within certain Nidarim are considered acceptable, certain Nidarim are considered unacceptable. That's another way to reconcile over here between the Gemarot, is to say that the Gemara back on Daftet is talking about Nidrei hekdesh, and over there the biggest issue is takala. Over here we're talking about Nidrei isur, and here the biggest problem is taking the neder whatsoever, getting involved in Nidarim. And that's another way to reconcile between them, is the hierarchy, meaning that Nidarim manifest in different ways. Some of them are positive or more positive than others, and maybe there is a difference between what type of neder you're dealing with. Alright. We also don't use this vehicle that Shmuel used for Atarat Nidarim. That even if a person is mikayem is neder, he's called a rasha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maikra, what's the pasuk that supports that? V'chi techtal lindor lo yebechal chait. Alright, so now Amar Rabbi Abahu Maikra, what's the pasuk? V'chi techtal lindor lo yebechal chait. If you don't take nidarim, you withhold yourself from taking nidarim, lo yebechal chait. You won't have any problems. V'yalif chadala chadala. And we're going to have a gzera shava of if you withhold yourself from nidarim, then you won't sin. Sham rishaim chadlu rogas. Over there, the rishaim will stop causing trouble. Sham yanuchu gi'ei koach. And there the weary are put to rest. And you see the word rasha is connected to the word chadal. So there they are chadlu rogas. Look to over here. The chadal that we're talking about here is the person who is a rasha. But it will not be negative for you if you abstain from taking nidarim. And we have support from that. Amar Rav Yosef, afanami nami tanina. We also have this in the Mishnah early on in the Masechta. Ken nidrei k'sheirim lo amar klom. Person who says, I'm taking a neder like the neder of the k'sheirim, he didn't say anything. Ken nidrei rishaim nadar benazir b'kurbanu b'shvuah. So if he uses the term rishaim, you see that nidarim are associated with Rishayim, and not associated with the Ksherim. Now this could be even according to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita back there. Back there, that seems to be Rabbi Meir's Shita, which we don't want you to take Nidarim at all. But it also could be Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. In the top of Yudam and Aleph, we said that Afilu Teima Rabbi Yehuda, that it can even be Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, because Rabbi Yehuda only thinks by Nidava that it's good. By Nidarim, he agrees with the position of Rabbi Meir, that we don't want you taking Nidarim. So this could be even according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonatan. Kol ha-koes, kol minei gehinom shotim bo. Anybody who gets angry, all types of gehinom are shotim bo. What that means, kol minei gehinom, that does that mean he will be punished with all types of punishments. That means kol minei gehinom, everything that Gehinom has to offer, he'll get. Or does it mean, kol minei gehinom means that it will precipitate many aveirot when a person gets angry. Shenemar, vaser ka'as milibecha, if you take anger out of your heart, you remove bad from your body, from you. And that anger precipitates problems.
Ve'in ra'ah el gehinom. And we know that ra'ah is synonymous with gehinom. Shnemar. Kol pal Hashem lemaneu. Ve'gam rasha liyom ra'ah. That everything that Hashem does is for his honor for him. Ve'gam rasha liyom ra'ah. He also created the rasha for the day of evil. Meaning that you see that the rasha is going to the day of bad. That means to gehinom. That's where the rasha is going to end up. Lo'od elo shetachtoniyot sholtim bo. That the person is plagued by hemorrhoids, shenemar, natan Hashem lecha sham lev rogos, vikilyon einayim vidavon nafesh. Hashem will give you there lev rogos, a trembling heart.
Obviously they're playing on rogos to mean rogos, which also means anger.
Vikilyon einayim and failing eyes, vidavon nafesh, and a languishing soul. That Hashem will make you over there. It's a heart of anger and chilyon einayim, and the things that you will look forward to will never come true. V'davon nefesh and disappointment. Ezu davar shmechale et einayim umadiv et hanefesh. What is something that causes a person to lose hope and make them despondent? Havyomer elu tachtoniyot. That's hemorrhoids. So here you see the negative or negativity that's associated with anger. We have it here. It's a parallel Gemara in the Gemara in Shabbat as well. That a person that is angry, all sorts of bad things happen to a person or individual who is angry, as the Ran says over here, Lefisha kas me violif for beikar. That a person who is angry is kofer beikar in the end. It precipitates, ends up denying God. And it's either because the anger itself makes the person unable to make proper judgments, and therefore he'll say things in his anger, or because anger leads down to a path of chataim, and it builds to the point where a person will be kofer beikar. Not that the anger itself in the first place brings to kfira b'ikar, but rather the anger precipitates more and more aveirot till the person is kofer b'ikar. Or you could argue that the anger itself is kofer b'ikar, because when a person is angry, there's no room for anyone else, including God. And therefore he's kofer b'ikar. But that's the tremendous danger in anger. Now, the Gemara is obviously bringing this up over here because the Gemara sees an association between kas and nidarim. That people end up taking nidarim in their moments of kas. And therefore, the association with kas and nidarim are similar, which is that people who are angry take nidarim, which they regret after the fact. But by the mere fact that they are taking these nidarim when they're angry is a sign that the person is not in control, that the person is not making good decisions, and that they lose a certain sense of limitations or a self-checking mechanism or things that the individual has a certain amount of inhibitions that are associated that those fall away when a person gets angry. And anger overcomes inhibitions and people say things and do things that they would never do when they're in a state of calmness. And therefore the anger here is such a negative thing. The Geret Ramban, when he writes to his son, and that the Geret Ramban that people read, a lot of that is dedicated to this issue of kas, of angry. Make sure you don't get angry. Take away anger. Make sure you don't get involved in anger because it's dangerous. It's so dangerous, anger. Ula v'miske l'ara l'Eretz Yisrael. Ula, when he was making Aliyah l'Eretz Yisrael, itlabu le'trein b'nei chuzai b'adei. There were two people, it seems to people from the city of Mechuzah, that were accompanying him, so it seems like they were Jews that were accompanying him. There's some that argue b'nei chuzai, you could call them the astrologers, but they were two non-Jews that accompanied him. But most likely it seems that they were talking about Jews here. Kam chad shachte l'chavre. One of them got angry at his friend, and he killed his friend. Amar le l'ula, yehut abde? So he says, Ula, did I do a good thing that I killed my friend? Amar le yin, upar le beit ha-shechita. He says, yes, and open up the beit ha-shechita. So now the Rishonim over here say, upar le beit ha-shechita means that you should speed up his death. Now, whether that was something just, he was encouraging him and saying, you know what, yeah, you killed him, you should do it quickly. Finish him off quickly. As if to say that you did the right thing. Or whether it was Ula having rachamim on the individual that he killed, and he said accelerate his death so he doesn't have to suffer. So it's not clear. The Rishonim bring here, the Rosh, the Ran bring different interpretations of what is parallel Beit HaShechita. Tiata the Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan, when he reached Eretz Yisrael, where Rabbi Yochanan is a prominent figure, Amalei, Dilma Chas V'Shalom, Akzike Yidei Ovrei Overa. Maybe in what I did, I actually reinforce the behavior of people who behave in an improper manner. Over here, he asked me if he did something right. He got angry and he killed someone, and I was supportive of what he did. Maybe, chas v'shalom, now I'm encouraging this individual to do this. I'm like, nafshecha yitzalto. You saved your own life.
Because if you had not agreed with this guy, he would have killed you as well. Or the killing was done already. That was a foregone conclusion. Whether that's because he was already dead, and when he said, Farley Abeta Shkita, he was just saying, yeah. You know, just, you should have killed him quickly. Or whether he was alive and the guy was about to kill him or was killing him quickly. Either way, that person was dead. There was no way he was going to live because what this guy was going to do to him. So for Ula to say he did the wrong thing at this point would only have endangered his life. It wouldn't have stopped this individual from killing the other individual. And therefore, what Rabbi Yochanan says to him, you know, you answered this way. The only reason that you agreed with him was to protect your own life. And that's a kanat nefashot, and therefore you're not going to be held accountable for being machzik yidei ovei avira. Katama Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was surprised by this incident. It says, Michtek tiv. It says, V'natan Hashem lecha sham leiv rogas. B'bavel ktiv. Over there, when we quoted from the Tochacha, it says that V'natan Hashem lecha sham. Over there, Hashem will give you leiv rogas. That means in Bavel, that people only have that type of anger, or that type of uncontrolled emotions in Bavel. That's not part of Eretz Yisrael, and they were heading up to Eretz Yisrael. Ulav responds back to him and says, Amalei, Ushata, Lo Avrin and Yardina. We didn't yet cross the Yardain. We were not yet in Eretz Yisrael. We were still in Chutz Laretz. And that's why you saw that type of behavior. Had they reached Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan believes that they wouldn't have had that behavior. What's interesting over here is that when we say Lo Avrin yet at the Yardain, the Ran notes over here, Ve'er Yardain, Lo Nid Kaddish, Lavata Omer, or the Mitzat Kiddushot. So the Ran says over here, we know that Ve'er Yardain in some ways has Kiddushat Eretz Yisrael. We know that from Reuven and Gad, the Chatzin Shevet Ben Asher took up the residence over there. And we know also the Mishnayot talk about three areas, Yehuda, the Galil, and Eretz Yardain, that there are areas that are considered to be parts of Eretz Yisrael. So what the Ran points out is it doesn't have the full-blown Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. It says Eretz Yardain, Lo Kadesh, Lavata Omer, Umitzat Kedushot. You can't bring the Omer from there. There's certain Kedushot that apply within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, west of the Yardain, that do not apply to Eretz Yisrael east of the Yardain. So not to say it's not part of Eretz Yisrael, but just to say that its Kedusha is not on that full-fledged of Kedusha, what we would call Eretz Kenan, where there is full-fledged Kedusha, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan believed once you went into the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't see that type of anger. It really opens up a broader discussion about what is the status of Eretz Yardain. The Ramban Ala Torah argues on the Rambam about exactly their positions about Eretz Yardain, and whether Eretz Yardain really has the status of Eretz Yisrael, and the battles that were conducted there were Mechemet Mitzvah, or does it not have the status of Eretz Yisrael? How close is it to the status of Eretz Yisrael? You have the Prokim at the end of Yoshua, which seem to indicate that it's not on the same level as Eretz Yisrael. It's a larger discussion about Eretz Yardain, but here the Ran is clearly making that distinction between Eretz Yardain not being Kadosh at all, versus Eretz Yardain being Kadosh, just not as Kadosh as Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabba Rav Huna Kol Kweis, Afilu Shechina Ina Chashuva Kenegdo. Any person that gets angry, it's as if God is not there anymore. There's nobody in his way. Once a person's angry, they're so bullheaded, they're so stubborn and strong-headed that they will not even see God. Shneamar, Rasha Kegova Po, Bal Yidrosh, Ein Elokim Kol Mizimotav. The Rasha, through his haughtiness and his pride, Bal Yidrosh, he will not seek out God. Ein Elokim Kol Mizimotav. God is not in any of his thoughts, in any of his plans, any of his intentions. What's interesting here, the Pashtura Pasuk is Rasha Kegova Apo. Gova Apo, the translation is usually that when he becomes haughty. So that when a person becomes haughty, Bal Yidrosh, Ein Elokim Kol Mizimotav. Then the person is not Doresh God. He doesn't see God in any of his intentions and any of his actions. Rav Yehuda, the Gemara is playing on Kugova Po. When his anger rises, and that's how they're translating it now, then God is not a part of any of his plans anymore, part of his intent. Rav Yehuda, Medifti Amar, Mishakeach Talmudo. Not only does he not know about God anymore, but he forgets what he's learned. Umosif Tipshut, and he becomes even more foolish. Shenemar. Kikas b'chek silim yanuach. So first of all, the anger is in the bosoms of the fools. So that's number one. You see the association between kas and that certain amount of foolishness. Uktiv, uchsil yifros ivelet.
that the ksil, the fool, will add on even more foolishness. So here there's this progressive problem with kas, that first of all makes one foolish, and then on top of that, the fool already becomes more foolish. So you see that progression. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar B'yadua Shem Avonotav Merubim Yitzchuyotav. If anybody gets angry, it's clear that he has more demerits than merits. Shnemar Ubal Chema Rav Pasha. That the person who's angry, Rav Pasha, you could argue means, and the Pashtut means that person who's angry, Rav Pasha will end up doing a lot of bad things. But rather over here, they're translating Rav Pasha, that means that he has his account already holds in it many sins. And that he has more sins than Zchuyot in that case. So here again, you see this reinforcement of Kas. Again, the idea that Kas leaves no room for anything else, which is it doesn't leave room for God. It doesn't leave room for thoughtfulness or Talmudo, his learning. That Kas takes over the entirety of the individual to the point where there's nothing else. And the person loses all sense of proportion, all sense of control and inhibition. And therefore, it leads to all these negative things that are being listed out here by the Amoraim. And that's why we are so negative on Kas. And again, just to reiterate, obviously they're connecting it here to Nidarim, because Nidarim seem to be a derivative of Kas. That Nidarim are precipitated when a person is angry. And that's why when a person is Bishat Kaso, you shouldn't ask a person whether he wants to be Mater Neder Bishat Kaso. You have to wait till the anger subsides before you ask him to be Mater the Neder. Because after the time when he's angry, you go over to him. That's the Mishnah Navot. You go over to him and say, you sure you want to take this neder? You know what it's going to do? The guy's so angry that he'll say yes, and that'll prevent him from getting a heter later on, a petach the neder. So don't engage the person when they're angry. You have to wait till they're at a better place before you can engage them. Because while they're angry, they're unable to manage the situation. Amar Rav Adar Rabbi Chanina. Ilmalei chatu Yisrael lo nitan lahem ele chamesh chumshei Torah v'sefer Yeshua b'vad. Had it not been for the fact that they saw it sinned, all they would have needed were the five chumashim and sefer Yeshua b'vad she'archash al Eretz Yisrael hu. They need sefer Yeshua because that talks about the kibush and chiluk, the division of Eretz Yisrael. But the rest of the Nevi'im are really about tochacha and musar. And the only reason they need tochacha and musar is because they have sinned. My time, oh, what's the reason? Kibiruv chuchma rav kas. So that with the great wisdom comes much anger. So now, how do we sort of read this? You have different approaches to this. Rashi says over here, ulefishi ba'atu v'chatu, nasuf lam rov chuchma. Because they kicked away Hashem, rejected Hashem, and angered Hashem, therefore he gave them a lot more chuchma. He gave them any more nevi'im. Shar sfarim la'chrichan yoter, to bog them down. And to weigh them down, which is that because of what they did, Hashem caused them to have to deal with more and gave them more chokhmah to deal with. That's the way Rashi expresses it. The Ran says, the whole point of the other Nevi'im is to give tochacha. And so the only reason you can measure the, how do you know how much anger God had at Bnei Israel? By the amount of chokhmah, by the amount of musar that he's giving them. So the more Nevi'im, the more, obviously, that was precipitated by the negative behavior of Bnei Israel. And that's the association. Rov Chokhmah is an indication of the Rov Kas. The more Nevi'im, the more Tochacha that was given, that means that Bnei Israel did more things that were bad. And that's the association between the two of them. On an extension of what Rashi says over here, there are those that say that it is actually to cause their anger to subside, which is that if they're angry, or they're doing things that anger God, if they have a lot of anger, then giving them the more Nevi'im, the Tochacha, is to burden them in a way that will cause their anger to subside. Because Hashem will burden them with the Chochmah, and that Chochmah will prevent the Kas from coming. And that's a preventative measure. It's a way to, similar to what Rashi says, La'atricham yoter, but even in a more positive sense, which is to weigh them down with this so that they don't get angry and they don't do bad things. It gives them an alternative distraction, so that they don't get involved in other things that are chataim v'kas. I'm Rabbi Yassi. Ein nizkakim l'elokei Yisrael. So the first statement is that we are not nizkakim l'elokei Yisrael, which means that we're not matir neder. When a person takes a neder, or here we're going to see in the Gemara, it also is a shvua. So even though the Gemara calls it a neder, in some of these instances it's clear that he's taking a shvua. But if you use the shem Hashem, then we're not matir the neder. Because either you were machtzif, you're such a chutzpah to use the Shem Hashem that we're not going to deal with you at all. Or, because once you engage the Shem Hashem,
then the fact that we could be matzah the neder is less important than you upholding your word when you use the Shem Hashem. Because once you've used the Shem Hashem, then there could be a chilul Hashem if you don't keep the word, if you don't keep what you said in the Shem Hashem. Even if you're matzah the neder, matzah the shvuah, over there we're going to make you accountable for the neder because you involve kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem in there, and therefore maybe that takes precedence over getting you out of the neder. So if you use the Shem Hashem, we won't be matir neder. Chutz, with one exception, which is the case, mikonam ishti nehenit li shiganvat kisi, in a case where the individual takes a neder that his wife cannot get enough from him, again, it's probably a shvua, shiganvat kisi, because she stole my wallet, she iktad et bini, she hit my son, benodola shlo ganvav shlo akatom. And then he finds out that she didn't steal, and she didn't hit. So many of the Rishonim point out over here, well, if he finds out that she didn't steal and she didn't hit, then the neder is not a binding neder because there was a mistaken premise in the neder. That's nidrei shkagot. That was a neder that was taken by mistake with a wrong premise. And therefore, it's automatically mutar. And why would you have to go to the chacham to get hatarat nidorim? So the Rishonim deal with it in different ways. Some Rishonim say it's a case where he was mamid the neder. And a case where he put the neder in place and he held it in place even despite the fact that he found out the information wasn't true. And later on, he regrets it, and now he wants to unwind it. That's one way to deal with it. There are other Rishonim, you can see it in the Tosafot already, it says, Ritzba lo garis, that they take out the girsa, v'nodash lo ganval shlo hikato. They take out the girsa that they find out that he didn't steal or he didn't hit. They take that out of the girsa. Because then, the neder is in effect, and he never finds out the information that would automatically unwind the neder. Now, it's clear here, and all the Rishonim note this, that the only reason we're matir neder here is because of Shalom Bayit. So definitely the issue of Shalom Bayit is here, and therefore we're going to be matir this neder because of Shalom Bayit. They're playing off the Din Sota, that Hashem is willing to have his name wiped out in the erasing or the erasure of the Parshat Sota to bring peace between a husband and a wife, then certainly we can be matir neder b'shem Hashem in order to bring Shalom Bayit. The question of whether Shalom Bayit is sufficient a reason to do it, or do we need something else on top of that? So there are some Rishonim you can see over here that suggest that not only do you need Shalom Bayit, but you also need Shenodah Shlo Ganvah Shlo Echato. Not only you need it to be a Nidrei Shkigagot, plus you need it to be Shalom Bayit. So you need two things in order to generate the Harat Nidrim over here. Others suggest over here that one of them is sufficient to be Matzah the Nether, and Shalom Bayit by itself would suffice in this case. And you can see the Ran brings the Rashban Zalkatav, they've shared the Gassin and Lay, we leave in the Girsa. And the Mishnah where it says you don't need Shelat Chacham when you make a mistake, Hanu Beomer, Shimlo Mipnei Kein, Lo Yamadira. Aval Mamid Varav. If he says, even so, I would have taken the nether anyway, then he needs a Shelat Chacham. And therefore, what the Ran suggests over here is that you need two things. You need Shalom Bayit, plus it has to be similar to Nidrei Shogogo to unwind it. Aval Huzal, the Rashba himself says, Afilu nimtza sheganva, nisha'alu matirin lo mishum shalom beito. Even if he finds out that it's true, she did steal, she did hit his son, we'll still be matir the nether here because of Shalom Bayit. So you see certain Rishonim taking a heavy emphasis on Shalom Bayit, so much so that even if nether is true, the Tosafot brings this as well, we'll still be matir the nether. Others suggest that it's only in combination with Nidrei Shkagot and the fact that it was a Shalom Bayit case that we would allow them to do this. And the question of whether you leave in the Girsa, whether he found out that she didn't steal and didn't hit his son. Haidata the Kamei de Ravasi. So this individual came before Ravasi. Amalaya, but my darts. Where did you take your neder? She says, Belukei Israel. I'm talking in God's name. Amalaya, ina darts b'mohi. Had you just taken a neder with a kinoi, chi kinoi ba'almo. That's only a kinoi, mazdakarina lach. I would have been matin the neder for you. Hashra don't know darts b'moi, elo lakei Yisrael. Here where you didn't do it with the kinoi, but rather with God's name itself, lom is the kikna lach. I will not be matin neder for you. And again over here, the Rosh points out, we're talking about a shvua, not a neder, because we already saw before that that is a kinoi for shvuot, and not a kinoi for nidarim. That's one girsa. There's an alternate girsa that's brought here, which the Ran notes over here, which is that, had you used mohi, I would not have been matir neder. So certainly, where you use Elokei Yisrael, I will not be matir neder. So that's the alternate gears over here. Rav Kahana, Ikla Lebei Rav Yosef. Rav Kahana
came to the house of Rabbi Yosef. Amar, he told Mar Mida, eat something over here. So Rabbi Yosef was pressing Rav Kana to eat. So Amar Lei, so in the end, Rav Kana desisted, demurred from accepting this invitation of Yosef. But Rabbi Yosef was pressing him, and therefore he takes a neder. He says, lo, I will not do this. Mare kula lo ta'im nalei. The Adon Alam, or the Adon Kol, I will not taste anything from you. So in the end, he takes a neder by Hashem, that he won't taste the thing from that which Rabbi Yosef is offering. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef responds to him, lo, mare kula lo ta'im nalei. Says, no, now I take a neder, lo ti'imatle, that you will not get a thing from me. So Gemara says, Hanika the Rav Kano, damar lo, mare kulo. Now, Rav Kano, we understand when he says no, and then he takes a neder, b'shem Hashem, we understand what he's doing. Ela le Rav Yosef, amay amar lo, mare kulo. Why did Rav Yosef say no? Rather, I'm going to take a neder. But Rav Yosef, why did he say no? All right, it's one thing if he said mare kulo lo ta'imple. He's just taking the neder of that Adon Kol that you won't taste from me. That's fine if he's taking a neder. But why does he add in the word no? Because nobody was prompting him or pushing him to eat. He says, no, hachi du duka marle. This is what he meant to say to him. Lo, he says, no, that's not the case. Mare kulo ho duka mart, that you said this, ilkach lo ta'imitle. Therefore now you're no longer going to be able to eat from me because you used Elokei Yisrael. Since he used the Shem Hashem, there's no Hatarat to such a neder. Since there's no Hatarat to such a neder, therefore now it's binding and I will not be able to give you anything. So Rabbi Yosef was not taking a neder himself, but rather pointing out to Rav Kahana at this point that since you took the neder in such a fashion, since you said, lo, mari kula, therefore, lo te emitle, I will not be able to give you anything. So he was stating a fact, not taking a neder. He was reflecting on the neder that Rav Kahana took. And therefore now Rav Yosef is saying to him, the conclusion is now that I will not be able to give you anything to eat because nobody's going to be able to be mad to this nether because you did it b'shem Hashem. Now that's one way to read it, that the lo is not part of the nether itself, which is the easier way to read it. There are other explanations that put the lo as part of the nether itself, which is not amarle lo, comma, no, I will not eat from you. And then he says mari kula, but rather the nether went lo mari kula lo ta'imple. And therefore, the question that was posed afterwards was also, why did Rabbi Yosef use the Lashon of Lo Marikula rather than Marikula? But it's harder to read it that way. So that's what the Gemara answered, that it's not that he was saying no, but rather he was reflecting on the statement of Rav Kahana and telling him what the implications of that statement were. Amar Rov, Amar Rav Nachman, Ilchata, Putchim Becharata, V'nizkakim Le'elokei Yisrael. The loch is that first of all, we are Puteach Becharata. Whether that means for Rashi that we open up with Charata, or whether that means for Tosfot and the Ran that we utilize Charata at all, that regret is enough of a reason to be Poteach Meneder, Libcha Lecha that we saw before, all the other examples that we saw before, and Nizkakim L'Elokei Yisrael, we are Matir Neder when it comes to the use of Shem Hashem. Over here the Ran brings down, Poirush Potchim Becharata Ben Beneder Ben Mishvua, Nizkakim Nami Lechatchilo L'Elokei Yisrael. Says it has the application, whether it's a neder, whether it's a shvuah. And the chadchila, we also matter neder when the person uses the Shem Hashem. And it doesn't matter whether they were holding a religious object in their hand when they did it, because that's just a reinforcement of the Shem Hashem. The main issue is the Shem Hashem, not the fact that you're holding a Sefer Torah, or you're holding tefillin, or a kadosh object in your hands. That's just to reinforce the sincerity and severity of the use of Shem Hashem, but not that that changes the Shvua or neder, and makes it even more stringent than simply using the Shem Hashem. And even though he quotes from the Gaonim that someone who does Nikitat Chefetz cannot get Hatara Olamit, he says we don't hold like that. Then he brings from Rabbeinu Haigon, and over here you start to see a push back against Hatarat Nedarim, which is that if we're Matir Nedarim all the time, we're actually not going to dissuade people from taking the darim, or to curtail this practice of taking the darim in shvuot. Because if people in the end can't get hatarat the darim or hatarat shvuah, then they won't desist from acting in this manner. And if we want to precipitate such behavior, or change in behavior, we're going to need to become more stringent on hatarat the darim. And you see that reflected in Rav Haigon, which is Rabbeinu Haigon, yechmir min darim, sholif toach b'charata. That he was machmir by the darim not to use charata. And he says, because today we act like Rav Asi, who says that ein chacham matir l'kein arba nidarim, that you can only be matir neder like the four nidarim at the beginning of the perek, which are nidarim that almost have their opening built into them, and you don't have to use charata. B'chmir od b'shvuot, you got even more chamur b'shvuot, v'mar lo mizgidim behu klal. When it comes to a shvua, we're not matir shvua at all. Ela kamizrami milta dit ba'itakanto mitzvah. Unless there's some sort of benefit or mitzvah that would come around from being matir the shvua, but for simple reasons that just to be matir the shvua because the person can't handle it, for that reason alone we would not be matir a shvua. That also manifests itself in the Rambam's psak by a shvua where he says that you should try with all your effort to keep the shvua and not be matir the shvua, which he does not say by nidarim, that a person should try as hard as possible to keep the nether before he is matir the nether. That he doesn't say by nidarim, but he does say that by shvuot. That really reflects the difference, partly of the severity of shvuot, but also this reflection of Rav Haigom. But then he brings even more, Avala Rav, Anasi, Arbar Galoni, Katab Hashem Mar Yudaigom, Sheikhmir Ol bin Nidarim. That he was even more mach nidarim, Vishva Utam the shvuot. He put them on par with shvuot. Shlol Atir Utam Afilu Petach L'Dvar Mitzvah. That he was only willing to be matir neder if it involved a mitzvah, or some sort of benefit that was clear and necessary, that was the only time that there'd be Natir Neder. And that's also obviously with Hatarat Nedarim, not with Hafarat Baal, where the Baal can be made for any type of Neder. But you see here in the Gonim, is really a pushback against this wholesale Hatarat Nedarim, Hatarat Shavuot, because it was then not precipitating a change in behavior in the individuals. But if you force individuals to be bound by their word, by their shvua, by their nether, unless there's extenuating circumstances, then you will engender a change in behavior. And that's what we're really after over here, a change in behavior. We don't want people taking Miko Rosham ben Nedarim. We saw that already in the Mishnayot, saw it in the Gemara as well. And the Gonim, in order to facilitate that, start to limit the abilities. Even though Medina de Gemara, they could do it, start to limit the abilities to get Hatarat Nedarim and Hatarat Shvot, to make them into a much more serious issue. And we see that transition in the time of the Gonim, in terms of taking Shvuot and Beit Din and so on and so forth, shying away from all of the Shvuot and the Darim, to the point where, by the time of the Rishonim, we start to see a definite decline in the use of Shvuot and the Darim, until the point where they've taken such a strong stand against them, that people really stop taking Shvuot and the Darim. So, Mishtabach Lei Rovo, the Rav Nachman, the Rav Schora. So, Robo was praising to Rav Nachman, this Talmud Chacham Rav Schora, Adam Gadolu, that he was a great individual. Amalek, Shavioli Adecha, Hivioli Adi. So when he comes by you, next time you see him, why don't you bring him over to me? Havalei Nidra, the Meshra. He had a nether that he needed to be Matir, Rav Schora. Ata the Kameh, Rav Nachman. He came before Rav Nachman to be Matir, the nether. Amalei Nadarta, Adata, the Hochi. Did you take the nether knowing this or thinking about this? Amalei In. Adata the Hochi, for this reason or that reason, in. So every time he would say yes, Kama Zimnin, it came up a number of times. Rav Nachman kept trying to be Matir Neder and find the Petach the Neder for him. And every time he said, did you think of this? Would you have done it if it was this? And every time he said yes, Ikbid Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman got angry at him. Amalei Zilla Kilach, go back to your house. Out of here. He got Rav Nachman upset because he's trying to be Matir Neder for him, trying to help him out. Meantime, he's saying that every time that he finds a new way to be make a matir the nether, he says back to him, now I thought of that already, and I wanted to take the nether anyway. I wanted to take it anyway. So now, first of all, why didn't Rav Nachman just use the b'charata over here to be matir nether? We just saw that Rav Nachman says, putchim b'charata. So Rav Nachman understood by the fact that Rav Schora came to him to be matir nether, that already Rav Schora, charata wasn't sufficient. Whether that was because Rav Schora was makbid on himself, whether Rav Schora didn't hold of charata, and that's why Rav Nachman over here is using an alternative to be matir the nether. The Ram brings an alternative, which is the fact that he took a nether to do a mitzvah, like to fast a certain amount of times, and he already began to do that practice. He already had fasted a number of times. And therefore, he didn't want to be matir the nether through charata Rav Schora, because then he would lose out on the mitzvot that he accumulated, or the fast that he accumulated until this point in time. So he didn't want to use charata, he wanted to use some other vehicle, the petach, so that he would be able to keep the mitzvot that he accomplished until this point in time, and it would not affect the accumulated merits that he had, and that's why he was looking for a different vehicle than charata. Nafak Rav Schora Patok Pitcha L'Nafshe. Schora left Rav Nachman, and then he was Matir Neder for himself. Most of the Rishonim over here said it wasn't literally that he did it for himself, but rather he, through this idea that he came up with, he had someone else be Matir Neder for him, whether that's Rav Nachman himself, or more likely another Talmud Chocham, which is Rabbi Omer. Ezehu Derech Yishara Shiyavor Lo Adam, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. What is the proper and straight path that one should choose in life? Kol Shi Tiferet Lo Seha, something that is a glory to the individual. Tiferet Lo Min Adam is also a glory from others, which as the Rosh explains over here, that many times a person can do something which they think is right, but when other people look in, they see that, or they think that it's wrong, so that's only Tiferet Lo. That's the Oseh. That's only something that's a glory or a crown to the individual who did it, but it's not Tiferet Lo Min Adam. Person should conduct themselves in a way that it's not only they bring glory or a crown to themselves, but others also feel that same way about them. Whereas Tosfot over here says, Tiferet Lo Oseh is La Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tiferet Lo Min Adam is that other people like it. So even though what you're doing is absolutely right, there's still a requirement that not only does it have to find favor in the eyes of God, it also has to find favor in the eyes of other individuals. So just being right is not sufficient, or doing right is not sufficient. You have to do it in a manner which also encourages others to do right and feel good about the way or the path that you have chosen. But if you cause distress and difficulty to other people, then even though it might be the right thing that you're doing, that still may not be the Derech HaYishara, the proper path to take. And over here, V'ashto the Ikpid Rav Nachman, over here that I angered Rav Nachman through my behavior, Adai De'achi Lo Nadre. I did not take a neder with that type of result in mind. V'shar L'Nafshe, and therefore I can be Matir Neder now. I never thought that my, whether it's Hakpadah, not using Charata, or my taking of a neder to do more mitzvot, would result in Rav Nachman being angry. And therefore now, in a sense, it's not worth it. I would never have taken the neder if I knew in the end it would precipitate Rav Nachman getting angry at me. Now the Rosh notes over here, and the Ran seconds this, that this is not Matir Benolad. Because here he found out new information that Rav Nachman got angry. He didn't know about that before. It wasn't something that it was available at the time that he took the neder. It's something that really developed after the fact, and that's called Nolad. You know, I'd be Matir Neder with some new information or something new that's happened over here that didn't exist at the time of the Neder. So the Rosh, in the round again, seconds this, says that, Lav no lad avi shekein derech harav lakpid al tamido. That it's normal for a Rebbe to get angry or to be makpid on what his Tamidim do. Kishmatriach alav, when they burden him. And that he should have thought ahead that this type of Neder would be too much or would have created a burden when he tries to be Matir Neder through Rav Nachman. And therefore, it is not deemed to be nolad, but rather something that was already apparent at the time of the neder, and therefore it's sufficient grounds to be matir the neder. So even though it's a tiferet for Rav Schora what he was doing, but it wasn't tiferet lo min adam because Rav Nachman wasn't praising him for this and wasn't coming out feeling good about this, and therefore he says that's sufficient grounds for me to be matir the neder over here. Rav Shimon Barabi Avalei Nidra the Meishra. Rav Shimon, the son of Rabbi, had a neder that he needed to be matir. After the kamayu de Rabbonon, he came before the Rabbonon to be matir neder. Amrulei nadarta data hochi. Did you take the neder with this in mind, or with this conclusion? Amarin, adata de hochi, in kama zimnin. Many times they asked him, well, maybe this, maybe this. And every time he said, yes, I already thought of this. I would have done it anyway. These are not good enough reasons to be matir the neder. The Rabbanim were moving back and forth from the sun to the shade and from the shade to the sun out of their frustration trying to find a petach for him, so they had to move back and forth. Botnit the Abba Shol ben Botnit. So Botnit, the son of Abba Shol ben Botnit, he was named after his grandfather. Did you take the neder with this in mind that you were going to cause the Chachamim such difficulty that they would have to move from the shade to the sun and the sun to the shade, that you would cause them such distress? Amarlo, he said, no, v'sharyua, and he was matir the neder again on the same grounds that Rav Schora said before, which is that if it's tiferet lo seha, even though it was something maybe that was positive for him, it's not tiferet lo min adam, it's not causing other people to feel the same way about your activities, about the validity and the praiseworthiness of your activity, and therefore it's not, again, something that he wanted to do, or he would want the Chachamim to see him in that light. And therefore, he was mata the nether, because this is something that the nether precipitated that he really did not want. And again, we'd have to say the same thing here again, that it's not nolad, because of the fact that it was something that could have been anticipated. If you are going to uphold the nether no matter what, then you're going to cause the Chachamim a lot of trouble or difficulty in the necessity to be mata the nether if you're not leaving many openings for it. Okay, we're stopped here, 7 lines down on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph.